We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle with Todd Sadowski from Fox 43. Going to chime in a little bit. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting questions as we move into and ahead to bowl season. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. Some awesome wines available for sale there. Great for the Penn State fan in your life. You have to check it out. Tailgatewine.com. And check out, in particular, the Blue and White Wine gift box. Once again, tailgatewine.com. The winner, today's best question, as determined by Greg. Maybe Todd can chime in on this,
absolutely.
Too.
I'll throw in my input.
We'll get a bottle of wine. Perfect. So it's a great thing. You know, holiday season, win a bottle of wine. Ask a question. If you don't know already, if you download the Keystone Sports app, there's an Ask Greg button there. Just click it. Fire off a question as we get into the offseason. We'll be really looking ahead, and there's some questions along these lines today, Greg. We're going to get back into recruiting because the first National Signing Day is coming up quick.
Right.
Odd timing in a lot of ways, in between end of the season, right before the Christmas holiday, right before bowl season. But so we'll ask a few questions along those lines here. Let's start with, post-Maryland. David from Shippensburg says, I'm assuming Blake Gillikin sticks around, but Sharif Miller enters the draft. Hard to do, but who do you predict joins Sharif Miller in that? Miles Sanders, Johnson, I'm assuming Juwan, Ryan Bates, Connor McGovern, Kevin Givens, John Reed. Any of these guys jump off the page we've spent some time talking about Miles Sanders for sure.
I think Miles Sanders is absolutely in this conversation. I think one of Sharif Miller and Kevin Givens, maybe both, but probably at least one of them go. So I think those are probably your leading two. Connor McGovern may be in the conversation. This is one area that I think is really hard, is evaluating the NFL readiness of offensive linemen and how much better you can get with 1 year of school. I thought Jaylon Sider, Penn State's running back coach, said it perfectly two Thursdays ago when he said more or less that if we think, or you know, it was his opinion, but I'm pretty sure this is Penn State's program's opinion and it makes sense. If a guy's ready, he wants to go, and he can't get any better, why stand in the way? You know, and by better, I mean improve your draft stock. Obviously, you can keep evolving as a player, but that's what these guys are going to have to, I guess this is the long way of getting there, is that these guys are going to have to decide, you know, whether they can improve with one more year in school. Some of them certainly can, some of them maybe not so much, so we'll have to see how it all plays out.
I think it's up to the individual too, and what they want to hear that says to them, I want to go. I mean, a lot of people forget, these guys are in school, they're going to class, they may not want to go to class anymore, and they want to get started working. And so even if they're told, look, you could stay here and improve, and they're told, well, you're probably going to be a third or fourth round pick, that's probably good enough to go, to say, all right, well, I can go improve while I'm in camp, while I'm getting paid, and I don't have to go to class anymore, and I can get started with what I want to be my early career and get started with football. So when you're talking about a Kevin Givens or Sharif Miller, a lot of it's going to have to do with family situation and what they want to hear. Yes, they could stick around and then potentially be a high second round pick. And what does that get them? Maybe a couple $100,000 more on the front side. Is that enough to keep them around in school and playing football at Penn State?
So part of this is something that we will never know. It's personal, financial, what each kid is going through and the certain obstacles or whatever you want to phrase them, like Garrett Sickles comes to mind. We just don't know, how urgent of a situation it might be to pursue and leave eligibility on the table. But all things equal, I just have a hard time believing, offensive linemen, it's game started. And that experience is a key number, I think, when it comes to draft. So if you can get to a point where you've made, 35 instead of 25 starts, I think that matters a little bit. I don't know if I see a true dominator here to the point where they would leave eligibility on the table. It would seem to make sense to try to keep that unit intact and maybe be dominant. Uh-huh. A dominant offensive line raises the profile of everybody, and Penn State would have a chance to do that next year if that whole group does stay together. I don't know. I just have a hard time seeing Ryan Bates. I have a hard time seeing Connor McGovern. We'll see about Kevin Givens. I mean, physically, I think there are some things that he can do to maybe elevate his profile. You know, he started the year. He missed, what, the first two games of the year. Statistically, I don't know what he's done statistically, but they're not gaudy numbers. And they don't have to be from his position. John Reed, I think clearly he wasn't 100%, and he didn't really round into form until midway through the year. Juwan Johnson, I can't see that happening coming off the year that he's had. Miles Sanders, there's not a whole lot more he can do. Like, what his film is out there now. What he can do, it's out there.
Are you really going to run that much faster or secure the ball that much more by going to class for another year and going to practice for another year? I don't know, man. I think there's NFL teams that can fix that just as easily as Penn State can.
Yeah, so I think Miles Sanders, it would make sense for him to go because there's just not much more. Teams will see him on film. He'll test. And that'll be that. I don't know if another 1,000-yard season, you know, as we mentioned off the air, it can almost work against you. You want to keep that touch count low.
I would think these kids, if they are going to go, they're going to need to be told they would be drafted. And you better still have a lot of confidence in yourself that you're going to maintain that status because there's a lot of people that make themselves eligible for the draft. And those seven rounds go pretty quickly. And you find yourself not even being Mr. Irrelevant as the last pick in the draft, fighting for a gig as an undrafted free agent.
Right.
That becomes a tough road
that's
to go.
That's tough. And in that position, you get no benefit of the doubt whatsoever. And I think that's one of the challenges. That team might not admit it, but if they invested a mid-round pick in you, they're more likely to be more patient with you than they would otherwise through injury or whatever else. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. You can fire off questions. Our own Greg Pickle here and Todd Sadowski on this particular occasion using the Keystone Sports app. There's an Ask Greg button. Segment brought to you by TailgateWine.com. Best question of the day gets a bottle of tailgate wine. Steve from Columbus says, how do you think Penn State would do against UCF? Side note, Greg, you seem to have a ton of indigestion.
Yes, sometimes I do, yes.
Rick from Rick and Morty when you talk. Steve coming in hot on this one.
Yes.
You don't and win yourself a bottle of wine.
I was
going to
say,
him Rick.
Yeah. This Rick, one has already been crossed off the list.
He redeems himself, says, just kidding around. Love listening to you guys talk. Yeah. Keep doing what you are doing. What do you think, Rick, from Rick and Morty? Do you think Penn State would beat UCF head-to-head? I mean, it's a different situation now with Milton. Was it?
Let's pretend Milton's healthy. Let's pretend Mackenzie Milton's healthy.
Yeah. I think so. Absolutely, I do. I really do. I think Penn State – because think about it. I mean, you have a whole – I mean, look how good – so there are a lot of people that complain about Ricky Ronnie after this season. Think how high the optimism was after the bowl game last year. Now, don't get me wrong. Saquon Barkley, Mike Gesicki, Deshaun Hamilton, all big factors in that game. Obviously, some key defensive players, too. But, guys, they had a month to prepare for Washington's very good defense, and they beat it up pretty darn good. So, I think with a month of prep, they could take on this UCF team and beat it, too.
I think the matchup with UCF has everything to do with the team's mindset going into the game. Do you have anything to gain? Do you not have anything to gain? And I think Coach Frank and his staff have done a great job getting the team prepared for everything. And not only that, is you got a lot of young players that this is their main, you know, they're getting a chance to perform, and this is their key role. Even though they've been maybe to last year's bowl game, this is their bowl game to shine and perform in. And I think a Penn State team is going to show up motivated and ready to go. I think a UCF, a Boise State in the past, probably feast better off a team, maybe like an Auburn, that wasn't happy to necessarily be in that game against that particular opponent. I think Penn State would be ready to go. It would be a New Year's Six bowl game, by the way, if you play UCF. So I think they would be ready to go, and I think they would beat them.
I think as
UCF's good, though, by the way. I mean, really good, and they would compete in the Big Ten. Well, there's no way in the world they'd go through it undefeated, getting hit. And that's the main criticism of a UCF is your roster's not as deep. When you play those teams every single week, week in and week out, and you have to deal with being thin at a position, that's when the losses start to hit you and you get piled up and you go to a Purdue when you say, oh, you can beat Purdue. Well, maybe not if you don't have your main guys.
And playing on the road against anybody really under those circumstances is tough. You saw it all kinds of times over the last few years. You know, it's a rugged thing, and there is no pushover when you're playing on the road. I think as cheesy as it could sound sometimes, James Franklin, I think, really conveys the message that, you know, a game like certainly a bowl game, but every game is an opportunity. I think the team seems to buy into that. And, I don't think Penn State's really had a lot of, like, preparation issues. Like, I feel like they haven't really slept on anybody. I mean, can you point to a time? Like, I know that there are emotional ups and downs, and you saw, like, one good example is when they beat Ohio State at home, had to go on the road to Indiana. Naturally, you're going to have some emotional a lag. But I think they've been very well prepared under James Franklin. That includes bowl games as well. Dave from Milwaukee wants to talk recruiting, and it's a good time with signing day coming up. Not so distant future. A little less than a month to signing day, but very quiet. Any update? Any momentum? Nothing on official visits. What's going on? And really, I mean, this is a good occasion. Let me just start with a question before you get to Dave's question. You know, Penn State's sitting here at 17 commits in its 19 class. What are we looking at number-wise again? I don't even remember. Like 20?
21, maybe. Now, it all depends. I mean, this is where it gets tricky for Andy Frank, who's the guru behind all the recruiting numbers and planning and all that. You don't know how many guys are going to leave for the NFL draft right now. You could think you only have room for five more guys, five guys you weren't expecting to leave for any reason, end up leaving. Now you have room for five more, so it gets really tricky. 21-22 seems to be right though in this class.
So what do you see over the next, like, you, if you follow any of the coaches on Twitter, you know they're out,
right?
You know, and it doesn't take long, bye weeks and everything. As soon as there's an extended opportunity, they're out, they're recruiting.
Correct.
You might start to see, with that in mind, a little bit of movement coming in. And remember, last year, the first signing day, you had they closed late. They got Micah Parsons when that was not set in stone.
Right.
Last December, they got Jahan Dotson. That was one of the bigger surprises.
Yep.
They've closed over the last, you know, if you look at the 2017 class, Tariq Kasser-Fields was a late get. They've managed to get a late significant player in each of the last two recruiting classes. I would say that there's a good chance that continues in 19.
Agreed, 100%. I think that, you know, ultimately Penn State picks up maybe one or two guys here in the month of December to keep us on our toes and to give them two more players in this class. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I would be surprised if they didn't get at least one or two in addition to that current 17 before signing day.
Real quick on this one, Jeff from Oakdale wonders which current starters would not even be recruited in last or this year's recruiting class. Trace McSorley, Nick Scott, Robert Windsor. Who's somebody who's a player for Penn State that if they were being recruited in 2018 or 2019, they wouldn't be recruited?
Well, I think Nick Scott might be on the borderline there. And don't get me wrong, he's a great player, but if he was being recruited in this class in this day and age, definitely on the borderline. There's no question about it.
I mean, they've raised the floor so high in these classes, and you talk about the high end, the four and five stars. I think when you go to the bottom of classes, you start to see the difference in how they recruited in 2018 and 2019. All right, there you go. Who's the first question? I can't remember who asked it,
but the first question's a winner.
All right, we'll just have to go circle back on the name there. Congratulations, first question asker. As this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, congratulations to the first person who asked a question. Tune in to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com for plenty more.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.